Hello and welcome. This is the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Craig. Oh, wait. No, I'm not. I'm Ben. This is Ben.
I'm Craig, and I have an accent that does not quite sound like that, but it was pretty close. I was impressed.
I told my wife I would do that.
And this is Ryan Tankersley. It's funny that you mentioned what you told your wife you would do, because I did the same. She's like, they call you Tank? That's not your name. It is the last four letters of my last name.
The first four letters of my last
name. We're going to call you Ryan all episode now.
Correct. I can't remember how to spell my name.
Oh, you did say last four.
I'm Ryan Zleetank.
Of my last name.
Ryan Zleetank.
So yeah, this is Tank, and I have a continuation of my story to tell you all. If you remember last week about my story of Azure and Microsoft breaking my heart with a $3,100 bill from what seemed like nothing. So I can't remember exactly how much detail I knew at the time, because it was happened that day. But basically, I started up a Hadoop database, and for somehow, I don't remember how, I don't even remember what I selected, but I select the highest tier. And it led to the highest tiers as well. But there were 32 options, and I picked option 26 on the range of expensiveness. So it was costing $2 an hour, which ended up about over 2 months, $3,000. So I've been in contact back and forth with Microsoft, and I got an email that said, we do not see any business justification to lower that bill. You had it up there spinning in the sky, so you have to pay what you ran. So I sent an email back. I said, okay, I know that there seems to be no business justification, but first, you guys spend more money. You're Microsoft. You spend more money like on a small client party than $3,000, but that's like half a year of savings for me. This is a really painful mistake. I said, if you can look and just see clearly it's a mistake, because I never touched it once it went in the sky. And then I tried to explain a business justification where if I have to pay this bill, I'll probably stop using Azure just because. And if I stop using Azure and I have an awesome business in the future where that, well, there's more than $3,000 lost, or if I become a consultant, I may push people towards or away Azure, there could be $3,000 lost. And, or if I just like tell my boss, hey, we should use Azure because I've been using it and love it, or we shouldn't use Azure, I stopped using it. Well, there's more than $3,000 lost. So I offered them that business justification, and she said, I'll send it to my leads, and did that. And end of the story is I got $2,500 off.
Nice. So, that's good.
Yeah, still $600 to pay, but that is a much, much more manageable fee for nothing. That's all I had.
Plus, you could have said, I co-host a tech podcast, and if you don't, give me money off. But that's good they did. They helped you out with that. That's cool.
Yeah, I appreciated it. I was glad. You know, there's a lot of Microsoft is often symbolizes M dollar sign instead of MS, you know, because they would just want money. But there's been all this talk, Microsoft's been changing. So I was like, come on, Microsoft, prove you've been changing. Don't make it all about the money.
They have been changing. There's hope.
That's cool. I have a story.
That's the end of my story.
I have a story this week that's also tech related. I was kind of inspired by you guys, Ben in particular, because he seems to use or rely on, I don't know what term you want to use. I think he just uses it, Siri, quite a bit. I don't really use Siri much at all because I've always just heard how frustrating she is. And when I have tried to use her in the past or it in the past, I don't know. I don't think it has a gender assigned according to if you ask her.
Depends. What does she identify as?
No. Well, I asked her and she says I was not assigned a gender, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, Siri. Oh. I don't usually bother with Siri, but I was heading to a video shoot that I was working on yesterday afternoon, and I knew how to get there. I was heading down the freeway. I knew how to get there one way, which was kind of going around the edge of the CBD or the suburbs around the edge of the city. But I thought I was coming down through the hills on the freeway, and I thought maybe there's a way of getting there through the hills because it was kind of in the foothills where I was trying to get to. And so I thought I'll ask, like, because I, you know, don't want to be looking at Google Maps while I'm trying to drive. So I asked Siri, show me how to get to my destination. And she sort of pulled up the map and started talking me through it. And it was all going well until... So I'm doing like 90 kilometers now. I don't remember what that is in miles.
Whoa, sorry. Wait a minute. You're doing what?
90 kilometers an hour. I don't know what that is okay. in miles. But
none of our listeners know what that means except for Grant.
Okay, so Tank's going to Google it and find out what that is in miles for me.
Nice. 55.9.
Okay, all right. Thank you. So thank you for restoring order to the universe, Tank.
That is the... Oh, come on. You guys need to get with the real system. But anyway, that is the speed limit on the stretch of road that I was on. And I'm going through a tunnel, so there's lights flashing past me on the right-hand side, like a concrete wall and lights. And then on the left-hand side, I'm pretty sure there's like a B-double, like a massive truck. And so it's really loud and it's dark and there's these lights flashing. And in the middle of the tunnel, she goes, turn right. And I sort of paused for a second. And then she goes, turn right. And I'm like, I would die if I no matter which way I go, it's death. I think I'm going to go straight ahead. So I went straight ahead. And needless to say, at the bottom of the freeway, I turned off Siri. I unplugged my my phone from the iPod jack in the car, and I was just like, I'm just going to go the way that I know because Siri's going to get me seriously killed. So that was my tech story for the week. I was just like, it's not worth it. I gave it a shot.
Can't do fantastic. It. Literally today, I deleted Google Maps from my phone and started using Apple Maps again. And
good luck.
My wife was like, I don't even know you anymore. It was great. All right. Well, we should get into Tech You Should Know for this week. So first off, Apple has said that they are going to disable their new news app for China. Did you guys hear this?
No.
Apparently China's big on, what's the word? Censorship.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So no news for Apple in China. Also this week, and I know Calvinist Batman doesn't like this, but the PlayStation 4 has an official remote. I thought this was super weird. The PS2 back in the day had a remote also. Did you guys know that?
I think so. I used to play a bit of PS2. I think I remember there being a remote.
Yep. And some other big news this week. Dell bought EMC for $67 billion. Remember last week when I said $125 million was a lot? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the biggest tech deal of all time, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. What is EMC?
EMC is like a... I think their main business is data storage.
I bet they use Hadoop.
Yeah, probably. And then some news from Facebook this week. They are taking advantage of the new 3D Touch on iOS 9, the new iPhones, and they've also added a dedicated shopping section of the site on Facebook, which could be pretty interesting. I find that these tech companies are fighting each other for pieces of different markets, of different slices of the market in consumer tech. So we talked about Amazon kicking Apple and Google out of their store previously. Kind of similar. And then from Apple this week, some hardware refreshes. I know Derek was really excited about the new iMacs. He said he was going to get one. And they also updated their Magic Trackpad, which is just it's like a peripheral where it's just a wireless trackpad, but it includes Force Touch now. So there's sort of a pressure sensor in the trackpad. So you get sort of a third interaction with the device.
So what's the main deal with the new iMacs? Because I'm just thinking my iMacs 2011 model, so it's kind of starting to get old. What have they done to it with the new?
They've launched Retina 4K iMacs. The 21.5 inch and the 27 inch are now Retina 5K displays.
Wow.
Which is like... Basically, it's a really, really high pixel count, such that they said it was this fictional thing called 5K that doesn't really exist, but they're trying to say that it's better than 4K, pretty much. And then what was really weird was they shrunk the space of the solid-state drives. So the iMacs are like 1 terabyte of storage, but some of that, they call it a fusion drive, some of that is an old manual disk drive, and then some of it is solid-state. And so they shrunk the solid-state portions a lot and found, like, huge manual spinning drives that they stuck in these iMacs. And people were in the very technical side of this industry were very upset about that.
Those four, like a 5K or whatever it is, iMac, is that... Would you actually get the full benefit from that? I remember when Ultra HD TV came out, like, people were saying, oh, wow, there's, you know, there's this thing that's bigger than HD, and it's going to look so much better, and everyone's going to have to get rid of their already big-screen TV and get an even bigger-screen TV. But then,
well,
pretty quickly, people realized that, scientifically, to get the benefit of that, you had to be sitting, like, 3 or 4 meters away from it, which in a lot of living rooms isn't practical.
It's good for video editors because they can edit full screen 4K video on a 5K iMac.
Yeah, which is what
with no issue.
I do that, and so that would be useful. But
right,
other than that usage, like other than seeing massive video on the screen without having to shrink things like windows down to less than 100% size.
Yeah,
for the average user, is there like?
I don't know why you would get one if you weren't editing video, except for the fact that they don't make the low-res ones anymore, pretty much.
Right.
I mean, you're basically just paying... You're just buying an iMac that has a much better screen than you need if you get an iMac.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So,
well, I don't shoot a lot of 4K yet, but maybe if I buy one of those, that will be a reason to upgrade my camera as well. That'd be nice.
Nice, nice. Also this week, Twitter is laying off 8% of their employees, which is actually, like, really big for them. 8% sounds small, but I don't think they've done massive layoffs like this since they went public, at least. But there's a new CEO, Jack Dorsey, kind of new. He's kind of old. He's back, and one of his first big moves was laying off a large portion of the employees to streamline the business.
I heard about this from a friend who loves the programming language Scala.
I don't even know what language that is.
Yeah, it's kind of Java-like, but functional. If that means anything to anybody. But, somebody said he told people this, and he said, they said, why do you know this? He goes, well, it's Scala related. And everybody know he's a Scala evangelist. He tells everybody that Scala is the best language all the time. Love Scala. Someone's like, how is this Scala related? Well, a bunch of Scala engineers just entered the market. Apparently, Twitter uses the language Scala. So
really?
Wow. If anybody's looking to hire a Scala engineer, then look for previously employed Twitter folks.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of some of the medium-sized tech companies are sort of scooping up those employees that just got laid off, almost as a good faith gesture. I know Zillow, for example, was looking to hire a bunch of the recently laid off Twitter employees, which I thought was really cool that they would rally around each other like that.
That is cool.
Yep. Also this week, Square, the transaction processing company, is going public with an IPO. Which is, I think, pretty interesting because I didn't think they were doing well enough to go public, but they are. Do either of you use Square?
I don't think it's available in Australia.
Oh, really?
I'm going to double check that, but I think when we were setting up the podcast, Derek maybe asked me to transfer something to him via that for one of the startup costs that we needed to pay for, and I don't think it would let me. It's the same thing as Square Cash, right? Like, it's the same company?
So Square Cash is made by Square.
What it's called, yeah.
Yeah, they started with the little Square Register, which was like an aux. It plugged into the aux port of your phone, like the headphone jack, and you could have a credit card reader. And they would take 2.75% off of all of your transactions for themselves. But anybody who had a personal business, or maybe even myself, could take credit card from somebody for anything. And it was sort of the first big, peer-to-peer transaction processing foray. So it was pretty interesting.
Better than PayPal?
Similar
fees to PayPal?
Beside PayPal, there was a physical presence where you could scan a card.
All right.
Okay. And I think Square was the first one to do that. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty certain they were the first ones to do that. And back then it was really cool. But I just had not heard that they were doing very well recently.
Maybe it is available in Australia. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I searched for it at the time and couldn't find it on my... I was looking for a Square Cash app or something. Anyway, yeah. Okay, cool.
And in other news, and this is probably my favorite news this week, Google is finally removing the Chrome Notification Center. So annoying. I don't even know why they created it in the first place, but it's finally going away. And they said that they're removing it because no one uses it, which is hilarious.
So the question about that is... Would you If you're a Google employee, like, do they not do research before they put these things out? Like, do they not find out what people are actually wanting and then build that into their offering? Or do they just kind of go, we think this is a good idea, so we'll just make it and then find out down the track that no one uses it and pull it? I mean, because Google Plus, you know, it's the same kind of thing, right?
Google Wave. Does anybody remember Google Wave?
Nope. Yeah, I remember the name, but like, what did it do? What was the...
Oh, it was the greatest, but they killed it off because nobody used it. Google Reader. If anybody's listening that used Google Reader, they're like crying right now because that had such a cult following. But they are notorious for killing off services that no one uses or that not enough people use.
They have stuck with Google Plus, but it's one of those things that, you know, people do joke about the fact that no one's on Google Plus because everyone's on Facebook. It's just they're making these things which they obviously put effort into, and they usually look really cool, like they're designed well and stuff. But then if they're not, it's not that they're not functional, but if they're not practically useful, like if people don't use them every day, then yeah, I just wonder. I don't know. I don't understand. But interesting.
Google is too big to fail. They can make mistakes like that, and nothing happens because they still have $50 billion in the bank.
They probably see it as a learning experience.
Yeah, a learning experience. That's much more positive. And finally, this week, some of the weirdest news. I think Dropbox, the online storage company, cloud storage company, has announced what they're calling Paper, which is going to compete with Google Docs, Office in the Cloud, things like that, iCloud documents, things like that. It is a document editing platform in the cloud, which I just think is so weird that Dropbox would try to enter into this business that is literally dominated by Google, Microsoft, and Apple. It's just crazy. I don't know why they think there's any money in that. But they're doing it.
Maybe it's a learning experience for them.
And that ends Tech You Should Know this week.
And that brings us into Tech You Should Use. So this week on Tech You Should Use, we're going to talk about Feedly being the specific app.
I like this one.
Yeah, Feedly is just it's an RSS feed reader, and I know RSS has been around forever, since before I knew what the internet was. Probably that's less true than I just said it, but anyway, I know RSS has been around for a long time, but I've just never used it. And I enjoy reading Desiring God. I enjoy reading the Gospel Coalition, but I've never had anything that says, "Hey, Desiring God just posted something new. Hey, Gospel Coalition, they have something new up." Except for being friends with John Piper on Facebook, or being a fan, or whatever that is.
Wait, you're friends with John Piper?
Yeah, we're buds. You know, we hang out for coffee every once in a while.
What?
You should let Calvinist Batman know. He's probably wanting to get him on the show.
Trying not to be jealous right now. Yeah, oh man, I would love if Calvinist Batman got John Piper on his show. That'd be amazing.
Is Calvinist Batman actually friends with John Piper?
No, he's a fan.
Okay, yeah, I'm along with the other 50,000 people that are just a fan or like his page or whatever. But he sends all the updates with his videos and the articles, and so as I go down my news feed, I can read them. But now, a friend introduced me to Feedly, and what it is you say, "Hey, let me know whenever Desiring God posts an article, or whenever Gospel Coalition posts an article, or when XKCD posts an article." And I have a few other ones. Commit Strip. I keep forgetting to look for Adam Ford. I know I want them on, or him on. So yeah, and so now I have the ability just to pull up the app. It's a web app, or there's a way to put it on your desktop, which is what I have.
There's a mobile app too.
Yeah, mobile app as well. Yep, and you just pull it up and it says there's two more on this, and you click it and you can scan through the headlines, read any. It just opens within the app, depending on the feed. And then you say, "Mark the rest red," and it goes away, and it'll let you know when a new one comes. So yeah, it's been very helpful. I've enjoyed it, although it is also just a distraction as well. You can get sucked into, what is that? I think I saw it on Desiring God, actually. It's FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yep.
So the fear of missing out syndrome is like, "Oh, no, I'll never miss out because I have a feed." So be sure to do all things in faith on that. And if you feel like you have a fear of missing out,
repent.
Best app for you. Go ahead.
I got a question. Is FOMO nomophobia fear of missing out on your phone?
That was a lot of similar sounding words. I'm impressed you said that.
I was impressed by the silence after I said it. I was like, did I just say something? Is that like a swear word in America?
FOMO nomophobia.
Everyone just kind of went silent. Like, he's talking another language.
Okay, on Feedly, I got to say, I love Feedly. Feedly is how I prepare the first and third segment of the show every single week. That's all I can say on that subject because it's proprietary Tech Reformation information, but it is what I use, and it's so great. I discovered it recently as well. I use an app on the iPhone called Newsify that just puts a little skin over my Feedly account and makes it a little bit more customizable, makes it a little bit prettier. It does have some ads, which Feedly doesn't have, I don't think, but I don't mind them. They're not too obtrusive. And it's a free app, so I really like it. And Feedly is an awesome service.
Cool. Do you have any experience, Greg, with feed readers like Feedly or anything else?
I did download Feedly at one point and thought it looked really cool. I just don't, it's a bit like with Pocket. Like, I like the idea of it, but I don't remember to do it often enough. Mm. Although, mm-hmm. since we talked about Pocket on the podcast, I was like, oh yeah, Pocket, I should get back into that. So I've been saving stuff in my Pocket a lot more lately. Feedly, I didn't really continue to use after I downloaded it, but I can definitely tell that if you're already in the habit of doing that, of reading things through RSS, like a constant subscription to something, then it definitely looked like the one to go with. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, check it out if you have any favorite websites and you've just been trying to make a habit of going to them. And that's a wrap for Tech You Should Use.
Okay, Tank, one point of clarification.
Go for it.
Remember when you said John Piper has 50,000 followers? You're one of 50,000?
Yeah.
I went ahead and looked, and on Facebook, he has 368,452 followers.
Nice.
Wow, we drastically underestimated John Piper's popularity.
I just had to know, because I was like, 50,000, that sounds about right. Nope, we were so wrong.
Although, if you read the comments, you'll find that not all of those are actually fans of John Piper.
Oh, yeah. You're forgetting the number one rule of the internet. Never read the comments.
Yeah.
Unless you're on Slack, in which case, reading the comments is good.
Yeah, speaking of, we've had some great conversation in our Slack lately.
Yeah, we have had some really good interaction in the Slack, and it's been good to hear some feedback as well in the last few episodes. We should thank publicly Calvinist Batman again for coming on last week, because we've had, in particular, some people sort of saying they really enjoyed that and got to hear or learn more about him through hearing his story and stuff, which is cool as well. But yeah, it is good to see the numbers of people in Slack going up and people are actually interacting and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, if you're listening to this right now, especially if you're a regular listener, go ahead and pause us right now, or you can even keep us going. I'll just talk about this long enough that you won't miss anything else. Jump out of this app, jump into the App Store, download Slack, sign up at slack.techreformation.com, and then you'll get an invite in your email and just walk through the process to sign up, and you can jump in and join the conversation with us.
And if your name's Calvinist Batman, and like you said last week, you don't like using third-party plugins, it's not a plugin, it's its own app. And it was referred to in Australian media during the week as the email killer. Slack the email killer takes over the world or something, I think is what the headline that I saw, or something to that effect. So, I was kind of like, hey, Slack, we're using that. And until we started using it, I hadn't heard of it. It wasn't a huge thing in Australia as far as I understand, although I do know a few other people who use it. But yeah, very cool. Get into it.
All right, and now let's enter into Theology from the Headlines. We are going to talk about TV this week. All right, and that ends Theology from the Headlines. Just kidding.
We should let you guys know that we, as we start Theology from the Headlines, Derek's away this week. We haven't actually mentioned that, which is really, really terrible. I don't think we mentioned it, did we? Or did you do it at the start? I don't know. Anyway, Ben may have done
it. No, we didn't mention it.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Derek. Derek is away. He's very busy at the moment, obviously, and him and his wife seem to be really enjoying their time with their new baby, which is awesome.
What could he possibly be busy with? Come on.
But he was unable to make it for today's episode, so we kind of had a bit of a chat and decided that we would still record because we love doing this, but we thought that we would, I guess, put our feet up and just have a bit more of a casual discussion this week around the topic of TV and entertainment and those kinds of things. And so, yeah, that's why Theology from the Headlines may look a little bit. This is an audio thing, right? May sound a little bit different this week compared to other weeks.
That's okay. We use visual cues for lots of things when we don't actually mean anything visual. Yeah, see what I mean?
Hey, Ben, look at this. See, wasn't that cool?
See what I mean? Nice. Oh, look at you guys.
So, Craig, what have you been watching on TV lately? I see your Duck Dynasty cup.
Yeah.
That was perfect timing.
It was perfect timing. This might lose us some listeners, or at least it might make me cop a bit of flack in the Slack. But when I'm going for just something that I don't need to concentrate on, I do enjoy me a bit of Duck Dynasty, especially Uncle Si. He makes me laugh a lot. A friend of mine introduced me to that, and I think it's just, you know, I'm not from America, so the whole southern redneck thing, I don't get to see a lot of that. So to see some supposedly a Christian family who's got a fair amount of money and is able to just kind of do silly things instead of doing their day jobs is kind of amusing. So I watch a bit of that. I do a lot of my TV watching these days on DVD or catch-up TV online or whatever. I was just saying to you guys earlier, I think I used to kind of watch nightly TV, like free-to-air, and then just, I don't know, maybe just with the way that the internet has kind of taken over everything, I guess I've switched from being happy with just sort of watching what's on to wanting content on demand, and so now I'm a bit more picky with what I watch and how I watch it. It seems to be that the main things I watch are either seasons of TV shows where I can kind of get stuck in and follow a story, a well-told story through from start to finish in my own time, or watch a little bit of reality TV. I was saying to the guys, there's a construction show, a renovation show that my wife and I sometimes watch when we're eating dinner, which is, we shouldn't always watch TV when you're eating dinner as a couple, but, you know, every now and then. That's kind of fun. But what I have just finished recently is Lost. And I know this seems really weird because it was on TV years ago. It's not like it's a recent thing, but for whatever reason, I ignored it when it was on TV. And then my sister owns all the seasons on DVD, and I was at her house and just looking at it and said, oh, I guess I should probably watch this one day. So she lent them to me. She lent me season one, and I had it for a year, and it took me that long to actually get around to watching it. And then I watched season one, and halfway through the first episode, I was kind of thinking, recognize some of these actors, kind of a cool concept, but I'm not really engaged. And then I think by episode 3 of season 1, I was like, I have to know what happens next. What's going on? Like, the hatch? What? What's the hatch? Oh, no, need to know what's under the hatch, all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't stop watching it. And so I've now, it was probably a month and a half ago, finished watching the final season. And I'm not going to say much more about that other than because Tank is currently watching it and I don't want to ruin things for him. But
spoiler alert.
Yeah, no spoilers here. But yeah, I did really enjoy Lost. I thought I know the stories about the writers were making it up as they went along and all that kind of thing. And so yeah, I get it. You have to make a fair few concessions along the way for realism or lack thereof. But just in terms
Except at the ending.
You can't talk about the ending. It's a spoiler. Tank will actually throw his headphones down and run away from the podcast. I just thought it was a it was J.J. Abrams, and I can't remember the other the episode director's name who did quite a few of them as well. But they were just good at telling the story, and even though the story took a lot of twists and turns, I kind of felt like I wanted to stick with it. And I think they were just good at building characters. You know, there's like a cast of whatever it is, 10 main characters, for example, say. Let's just pick that number.
There's 11 right now.
11. Dies. Yeah, okay, sorry. <I'm kidding>. Whatever. I think it is an odd number. Anyway, I just thought they did a really good job at building building a level of attachment between viewer and character over time. So each episode would kind of show, you know, either flashbacks or flash forwards or whatever to different parts of various people's lives. And that was something that I found really interesting, was kind of taking a step away from all the action scenes and the mystery and the drama and the danger of what was going on, and seeing, you know, why should I care about this character in this situation? Why should I care if this character gets eaten by a polar bear in episode one? So, you know, I thought they did a good job of that, and that was what then made me keep going and watching all the way through to season six, last episode.
Yeah, Lost is awesome. It's interesting. I watched them sequentially as they came out, all the way up until the very last season. So as they came out, I watched seasons 1 through 5, and then I went to college and just stopped watching. So I've gone these years now just not knowing any of the answers. I've known all the build-up, but none of the answers. And so my wife and I finally started watching it. And yeah, it's great finally getting to hear what the heck's going on this whole time. Yeah, and I also like what you said about the characters. Definitely actually care about the characters rather than, yeah, these are just people. And what I think really is interesting about Lost is something you don't see in shows ever, almost ever, or books or anything, is characters actually die. And I think that's an important part for a long series, is because if you know the characters are never going to die, well, they're in some scary situation, well, they'll be fine. They'll get out of it. It's interesting to hear how they get out of it. But when you actually are like, oh, man, they might kill off a character. What's going to happen? You know, you're actually worried for the characters. So I think that's interesting.
Or the flip side, you kill off people haphazardly and then you just bring them back from the dead like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sorry if I just ruined that for anyone.
You can spoil that as much as you want. I don't think I'm ever going to watch that.
Well, it's actually the same thing with Arrow right now, which I'm watching. I hope no one's watching that.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, they have this Lazarus Pit. It's actually called the Lazarus Pit, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they just drop dead people in it and they come back to life.
Oh, that's my beef.
It's so dumb.
That's my beef with Firefly as well. Like, I could have... I don't like
it. Haven't watched it. Haven't watched it.
Haven't watched it either.
What about you, Ben? Oh, no, Tank, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, so I wanted to show some of my, I guess, nerdy side a little bit more and say one of the most interesting types of shows that I like to watch is anime. So, shaking heads, nodding head. Yeah, nice. Shaking heads. No. Anyway, now I'm all lost. But something I found really interesting about anime. First, my wife and I watched How I Met Your Mother all the way through. We watched,
yes!
We watched Malcolm in the Middle all the way through. We're watching Lost all the way through. And we enjoy those. We laugh. We enjoy the story. But we watched the TV show Death Note. And since very few people probably know the storyline of that, it's about a guy. Ben is freaking out right now.
Death Note is the greatest anime show of all freaking time. It's only 37 episodes. Stop at like episode 26. Just don't watch the last 10. Please.
Well, we watched them all. But like afterwards, so the story is a guy gets a notebook and he writes a person's name in it and they die. So yep. He starts watching the news, finding criminals, and he sees a criminal online. He writes their name in the notebook. And so criminals are terrified to commit a crime, and so crime rate stops dropping. And Michelle and I, my wife Michelle, we start having these conversations like, what would we do? Would we root for this guy? Would we be on his side? Surely not. That's just wrong. But crime rate's going down. That's a good thing. And so we start having these philosophical conversations, and it's the same with, we watched one called Attack on Titan, which is like a horror anime, but it's showing all the horrors of war, and we're just thinking how, you know, if we're in these situations, it's not pretty like all the fantasy shows usually show, like, yay, we go in, we beat up everybody because we're the strongest. It's like, no, if you're in this situation, you see your friends die, and so we start talking about the fragileness of life and how we want to be the heroes, but if we go into those situations, nobody's going to be a hero. And then there, just anytime we watch an anime, we start having these deep philosophical questions. If we're watching deep ones, if we're watching like Dragon Ball Z, well, they yell
careful,
and fight.
Careful with your next words, sir.
We get to watch a staring contest and we're like, man, look, just think of how long they can keep their eyes open and yell. You don't get good conversations from that. But if you're watching the deep ones, so that's what I wanted to say about shows that I like to watch. Deep, really deep themed animes. So,
hey, have you seen Dragon Ball Sheep?
No, I have not.
Okay, you need to watch that later. All right. Death Note is the greatest. I did just verify. If you have not seen Death Note and you like anime, you need to watch it, number one. It's only 37 episodes. After you get to 26, trust me, you have to trust me. Someone told me this, and I didn't trust them, and I regret it. Just stop watching after episode 26, and that's where the show ends for you and for everyone, okay? If you keep watching, it will ruin the entire series for you.
I kind of like the ending. I won't say anything about it, but I kind of like the last episode.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you know where I'm telling them to stop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the good ending at the end of Lost, Hey Tank, where, you know, when they... Just kidding.
Did Tank
just go skydiving or something? He just kind of faded off.
I don't... I gotta say one more thing about Lost. I don't think this ruins any plot.
You don't think?
He's gone.
Tank just took his headphones off, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. Go ahead.
I feel like I remember when I first saw it, wasn't a Christian, really loved the ending. And I think back to why I loved it now, and I'm like, yeah, I probably like...
Tank can't listen to this, but yeah.
Shouldn't have loved it.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't think, as a Christian, I thought I didn't love the ending. But,
yeah.
You know, I thought it was... I thought there was kind of some... It started. There were parts where you're like, yeah, that's kind of a good... allegory or whatever, and then there was other parts where I was like, no, definitely not a good one at all. So I didn't really think it was great in the end, but yeah we better let Tank come back on the podcast, because he was definitely sort of starting to freak out that we were going to give it all away, which we're not.
I did not reveal anything.
No, you didn't, and neither did I just
all thought, I said it was how I felt about what happened.
Yep, same.
That's it. It's negative. Being a Christian, the ending is worse.
No, but then I said I thought it was mixed. There were some bits that were, I was kind of like, oh yeah, kind of, I can kind of see where they're going with that. And there's other bits I was like, maybe not.
Okay, well, whenever you finish it, whenever you finish it, tell us and we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay, so TV shows I'm watching. I'm going to spare you most of them. I really enjoy Arrow and Flash. They're great. Somebody once told me that they look like great shows for teenage girls, so that was kind of humbling. But I think they're great, and I love that they don't hold any punches. Like, when they're ready to kill somebody off, they just kill them, and it's great. anyway, and they don't make you wait a whole season for a great, like, cliffhanger or something. They just do it whenever they're ready. It's nice. Awesome. Anyway, but I just started, speaking of cult followings from earlier in the show, Doctor Who. Have you guys watched Doctor Who?
Sorry. I'm not a big fan.
Well, I'm only like three or four episodes in. I'm watching it with a good friend who loves it and has seen like every episode a bunch of times, I think.
Which Doctor Who are we talking about?
The new one.
Okay.
But like the 2005 reboot.
Yeah.
I think it's 2005. Not the old one. He said that the first season though is like not very good, but it gets really good after that. And it's still ongoing. They're in like their 9 or 10th season, something like that. I think 9 seasons are on Netflix. Anyway, apparently it's really good. And it's just got this kind of like epic story. I don't know. I'm interested to see how it goes. It seems kind of sketchy right now. Very British humor. Which, you know, I mean, you guys know British humor. But I'm excited because it is either produced or directed by the same guy who directs Sherlock, which is the greatest... TV show currently running.
Is it really?
I can't believe you could think that it's not.
Well, I haven't watched it because I don't like... I mean, it's the same with Doctor Who. Like, I've seen bits of it here and there, and I just haven't... None of what I have seen has made me want to invest time in watching more. And I've heard friends of mine love Sherlock, and I'm just like, meh. Why? Like, okay.
I think if you get a whole episode through Sherlock and you don't love it and want to watch the other... I think there's 4 seasons out now. If you don't want to watch the rest, I'd be surprised. All right. There's only three episodes.
I'll take up your recommendation, Ben.
Okay, good. I would highly recommend Sherlock. There's only three episodes every season, only four seasons out, but each episode is 90 minutes.
Okay, cool.
So it's like a mini movie.
Yeah, it's worth watching. And that's what one of the things I liked about Lost and Breaking Bad and stuff is that TV shows, for me, they need to be that length or else it's just like a sitcom. Like 30 minutes is not really long enough to get involved in a TV show. Know what I mean?
Needs to be See what I mean?
Hour and a half. I'm excited about MacGyver getting a reboot.
I didn't even know MacGyver was getting a reboot.
Yeah, it's getting a reboot by CBS, apparently, according to that article. I don't know. We used to watch it as kids growing up. It was like just a thing that our family did.
I use MacGyver as a verb more than most words, and I've never seen an episode of MacGyver.
Okay, that's a bad thing. But again, if you're going to watch MacGyver, similar to Ben's recommendation with the anime, please skip season one.
Not anime. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You're right.
With the anime show that you were talking about. Please skip season one of MacGyver because I own all seasons on DVD and season one. If people say to me, I've never seen MacGyver, can we watch it? I'm like, yes, but we can watch from season two onwards because I don't want you to watch season one and never want to watch it ever again. There's just too many really, really corny dialogue parts and bad plot lines and stuff. So
let me give an example. I'll use that word in a sentence. Derek is going to MacGyver this podcast episode.
Everyone uses it like that. I get what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Tank, I'm surprised you didn't mention Yu Yu Hakusho. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
It kind of falls more in line with the Dragon Ball Z type of anime, so
what?
Go off my point. But it's still a fantastic anime. Yeah, it was my number one for a long time.
What's your number one now?
You know, that's a tough choice. I would say the first half of the first season of Sword Art Online.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, it is the best. It's fantastic. But if you go further, it just kind of fizzles out. But
is it English dubbed?
Season, fantastic. Do what?
Is it English dubbed?
It's English dubbed.
Okay.
Yeah, we watched it English dubbed.
I used to watch them all on English sub, and I was such a slow reader. I had to pause frames sometimes. I mean, don't give me a paragraph of text that I'm supposed to read in one frame. Like, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
The interesting topic, philosophical topic that Michelle and I talked about from Sword Art is it's virtual reality. You go into a virtual reality video game. In the first episode, they find out they can't log out of the video game. And if they die in the video game, they die in real life. So that's kind of the story. And they have to get to the end of the game without dying. So it's really fantastic. Just this huge story of how are they going to get out, and it's an MMO, so there's all these people working together trying to beat the boss. And so Michelle and I kind of were talking about just virtual reality and getting stuck in there, and what if a baby was born and hooked to virtual reality immediately, would it know any other life, all that stuff. So yeah, it's really, really fascinating story, and I just like, it's fun thinking about just why we enjoy those huge stories and what they make us think of, and just how God put it in us to enjoy those fantastic adventures.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Why do we like epic stories, if you will? Because we've talked about a lot of good shows now, and I think definitely a recurring theme is the storyline or the plot is just really intense and engaging. And, you know, it's not necessarily that they're always thrillers or they're always adventure or but they always do have a very engaging story. And that's what kind of keeps us hooked. Craig was talking about that with Lost and some of the others. So why do we think that is?
I think a lot of it is to do with character development. So, like, I mean, a good story needs, like, it needs complications, it needs points of climax where things are really, you know, it needs tension to be built and then to be relieved. I think some people get frustrated with things if there's just, like, tension all the time, for example. I think Hitchcock was famous for saying that shows that build up a lot of tension, or movies that build up a lot of tension, if you don't provide release points, audiences get frustrated because they're needing both. They need moments where you don't know what's happening and you are scared and you are confused or whatever. There is adrenaline happening, but then you also need moments of the opposite where you can just be comfortable with what's going on and kind of let that subside for a bit. I think there's that kind of storytelling arc stuff of how do you weave in the complexities of moments of tension, moments of downtime or sort of rest, with climaxes and complications and resolutions that aren't predictable all the time and don't always end with people going off into the sunset on the back of a horse. you know, so there's complexity and interest created in how can we tell a story in a way that is unique. And I think there's, you know, some people would say there's only whatever it is, five different types of story, you know, redemption story. Well, they put them in categories and go, there's only these five stories and we just tell them in different ways. But I tend to think it is broader than that. I think it's more like music, you know, there's only a certain amount of notes, but the creativity that God's given people enables so many different stories to be told from those notes. In a musical sense, I think it's the same kind of thing with television, you know, so many different stories of humanity and stories of situations and circumstances and stuff can be told. But the thing that really, for me, the thing that will make it interesting and make me want to keep watching that story is not the story itself, but usually, like we talked about earlier, do I care about the characters? Do I want to know what makes them tick and where, and do I, am I able to connect at all with where they've come from and where they're going? I think for me, that's what makes TV either interesting or not so much.
Well, I think there's also, you know, mystical or fanciful elements in some of the shows we brought up, a lot of the shows we brought up, that really intrigue our imagination as well.
Yep.
So like the polar bear on the island, what the heck is a polar bear doing there? How did it get there? What's it doing? Why is it there? You know, that kind of a thing that really plays to our, like I said, imagination. And I think there's something there theologically. For sure. Do either of you guys want to speak to that? Or should I?
You should. I think you should, since you had the idea.
Okay. Okay, two things. Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in their hearts. We tend to use that verse to talk about the Jesus-shaped hole in our hearts, which I'm not saying it's not that. but I think it's more than that, at least, if it is that. Because I think Romans 8 talks about the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In fact, the whole creation groans waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, the redemption of our bodies. So everything about this world, or everything in this world, I should say, in some way or another groans or longs for the day when our adoption is completely and totally realized as sons of God. When the creation is remade or consummated at the returning of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in that day, the glory that will be revealed, there won't be sun or moon because the glory of God will light the earth. In that day, we will see more imaginative, unimaginable glories or things than we could ever imagine. And all of the things that we, I said imagine three times, all of the things that we see now that intrigue our imagination in this way, in these stories, character developments, plot twists, mystical, fanciful elements of TV shows, are contributing to that groaning because we ourselves groan, it says in later in the Romans 8 text. And this is one of the things that Tolkien and Lewis talked about a lot as they wrote Lord of the Rings and Narnia.
Yeah, that reminds me of C.S. Lewis's sermon, The Weight of Glory.
Yes.
I read it from Piper, but one of the things he says extremely well is just how there's this kind of wistfulness or longing that everybody has but can't put it to words. But it's like if someone did try to talk about it, everybody would know what you're saying. It's just kind of this want for something greater that you see when you feel when you see something great. So he uses a sunrise, you just kind of feel that there's something greater, and it's so hard to describe. And I like his argument in that is like whenever we feel hunger, there's something to satisfy that. Whenever we feel thirsty, there's something to satisfy that. Because something exists to satisfy that. He said there may be a starving man on an island and there's literally no food. He feels that hunger, there's no food around him, but that doesn't mean that there's no food in existence. It means the opposite, that there is food to satisfy that.
Yes.
He just can't get any. And so what C.S. Lewis says is everybody having this feeling of something greater just makes sense, that even though we can't seem to reach it, it makes sense that something exists to satisfy that need. So I really love how he says that in his sermon there, and he goes on to say there's some really awesome stuff as well. But
I think there's something in us that longs for this future glory or this kingdom that is coming, that has come, that is coming, and that will come. Sort of the already not yet, that also longs for justice. We talked about internet mob justice a few weeks ago. There's something in that that is in us that wants to see justice done, and yet in our sinful flesh it comes out of us in horribly wicked ways sometimes. And we kind of talked about the bad side of that. But there's something good in that, too, that seeks, I think, that longing and groaning of creation and ourselves, that wants justice to be done, that knows that the Almighty God will eventually judge all of us.
That's the image of God, isn't it? Like, our sense of underlying justice and our longing for...
Yeah,
true justice is I would say part of the imprint of the image of God in our lives. And even though it is, you know, because we live in a fallen world tainted by sin, and like you said, we can distort true justice into something that doesn't really resemble justice at all at times as, mm-hmm. as sinful humans. The fact that there is actually an underlying sense of a perfect justice that we are hoping for and that we can experience in God is something that is part of His creation and the fact that we are made in His image.
And one other thing, I think what we were saying about how we look forward and long for this future glory to come, I think that's very true, and I completely agree with it. I also think that television can, not always, but television and video games, I know for myself, video games is like I was too shy and too scared whenever I was younger and to really live out adventure, to really do exciting things and do scary things and go out of my comfort zone. And video games provide a way to do that safely because there's a reset button. And video or TV shows let us watch other people. But I just know, like, hearing stories about... like anything, missionaries, people sharing the gospel and people receiving the gospel is always so wonderful to hear and just makes us so joyful. But then we do it ourselves and there's just this sense of this is what I was created to do. Like whenever we get to be with someone as we see God make them a new creation, like there's just something about that that is, this makes sense. Well, I remember my first experience in that, and I knew this is what I want to do. Like, this is, I struggled a lot with the meaning of life. And then whenever I saw that, I can do this for the rest of my life, bring God glory by praising Him and bringing others to do the same. And so I think TV lets us experience that adventure. But I think one way it can do it is spur us on towards adventure. Like we see it and we're like, yes, let's be a part of this. Let's go and do it ourselves. And then it can also make us lazy about not wanting to do the adventure because we have it all. And so I think that we can be far too easily pleased. And I think it's always good to, when watching the TV shows, to think of ourselves as doing these things that they're doing and living out this adventure that God calls us to in serving His kingdom. So I wanted to mention that.
Sounds like a great place to wrap up Theology from the Headlines this week. Let's move into Recos. I'm going to go first this week. I never go first on Recos. And I have two.
Go for it.
Because Derek's not here. We were talking about great TV shows, and Craig mentioned binge watching. and so I want to recommend Daredevil on Netflix, season one. Season two is announced. It's going to come out next year, and they've just released a teaser trailer for it. But if you have not watched season three, 13 episodes, check it out. It's all on Netflix. It's amazing. It's Marvel TV show. It is a little bit gory at times, so if that's not your thing, then be cautioned there. I think episode 3 or 4 gets like really bad at the end of the episode. I won't tell you what it is in case you haven't seen it yet, but just be warned. However, I will say, in the last episode, the villain actually quotes the passage of the Good Samaritan and correctly applies it to us and himself.
Nice.
Yeah, which is awesome. So Daredevil on Netflix is my first recommendation. Second, Stephen Colbert recently had an orchestra play all of the medley, a huge medley of songs from The Legend of Zelda, the video game, and it's amazing. It's on YouTube. I'll link it in the show notes. That's all I got. Tank, what's your reco?
My reco would be The Weight of Glory by C.S. Lewis. We talked about it. Highly recommend that you guys check it out. It's takes maybe 15 to 30 minutes to read, and it just says some really awesome stuff. So we'll have a PDF link to the sermon in the show notes. And yeah, so just take a little while, sit down and read through it.
Cool. I have two recos this week. One is just to reinforce Calvinist Batman's from last week, because Derek's not here this week. He normally records the Skype chat for us, and I'm using the Skype recorder plugin. I think it's just called Skype, call recorder for Skype, that Calvinist Batman talked about last week, and it's really good. So it's really easy to use. Jump on that if you ever need to do that. Also this week, Apple updated. I did the iOS 9 update, and I got to say, I don't like the new layout of the native podcasting app. So I have switched away from that, at least for the time being, and I'm using an app called Pocket Casts, which is made by a company called Shifty Jelly. Really cool, really good design, interface, UI design is really clean and everything. I think someone said they've won some awards and stuff, just the cleanness and minimal sort of design that they've used, and it works really well. Everything's where I would expect it to be, unlike the new iOS 9 version. So if you're looking for a cool podcasting app that's different to Overcast, which I know other people have recommended other weeks, maybe try Pocket Casts.
And if you would like to contact us, the best way to do that is to get in our Slack channel. Go to slack.techreformation.com, fill out a web form, it'll send you an email automatically, click a button in your email, sign up, and jump in the Slack. It's that easy. It's all free. I don't know if we even mentioned that. It's all free. We don't expect you to pay for anything, any of the content for this show. But it's a great place to connect, continue talking about, continue the conversations we've started about technology and theology and the interplay there.
You can also email us at ask@techreformation.com. Ask us any feedback, questions, comments on the show. And we welcome anything you have to say.
You can also find us on Twitter at Tech Reformation, and on Facebook we have a Facebook page called Tech Reformation as well, so jump on there for updates. And you can check out our website, techreformation.com. As I said, we have been getting some cool feedback through the Slack channel, which is great. But if you have been listening to the show and are enjoying it, we'd also love it if you could review us on iTunes. That would just help us out with knowing what you guys think and hopefully getting a little bit higher up in the ratings so that other people find out about the podcast as well.
Thanks for listening this week. This has been Tech Reformation. We'll see you next week. What are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. Okay, Derek, don't start listening until 10 and a half minutes in, right here. This is the mark.
He's not going to hear that until 10 and a half minutes.
That's the funny part.